I've been working with a nurse dietitian for the last 6 months, and it's been life-changing. I've lost weight, healed my relationship with food, and have way more energy. Working with a dietitian online to create a personalized nutrition plan was so easy thanks to Nourish. The best part? I pay $0 out of pocket because Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, anyone know what channel the game's on?
We know. Download the Sports on What app today and always know how to watch the game. Satellite, cable, or streaming. Sports on What knows the channel the game is on, and you can too. Subscribe today to start your 7-day free trial. Sports on What. We know.
99.9 KISW. The shenanigans continue. This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
Our question, what is the sound that you will never forget? 206-803-ROCK.
And man, oh man, just reading some of the texts, it's wonderful stuff. I won't forget the sound of my collarbone snapping when a fat kid fell on me. I'll never forget the sound of the table saw stopping when my fingers went through it. The sound of someone choking on their own ruptured esophagus, I will never get that sound or visual out of my brain. I'll always remember the sound of impact, head, and a car crash. Yeah, it's all the good hits, man. The sound my dog made when he tried to jump our 8-foot chain link fence and got stuck, dangling my one toe at the top.
Oh, man.
Absolutely the most horrifying animal scream I will ever unhear.
I left this out, but I will say, watching somebody die in front of you in that death gargle.
Yeah, you said when playing
pretty,
baseball.
Yeah, you could remember that.
Mm. Yeah, I think you would. You know what sound I always remember, because I do it at least once a week? Stepping on my dog's paw.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You just start, like, she's under the coffee table or something, so you kind of forget that she's in the room, and then I stand up and realize I've stepped on her paw, and it's the same scream every time, and I'm like, dude, I'm so sorry.
Well, the sound of animals in pain is probably just one of the worst sounds that you'll ever hear.
But sometimes I wonder what pain they feel more. So yesterday I'm walking the dog as my wife and my son are pulling into the driveway. The dog gets very excited. I just take her off the leash, and obviously she shoots up the driveway and meets the car. Then I hear my son going, oh, God, I'm sorry, Molly. So when I get up, I'm like, what happened? He was closing the car door. She was about to jump into the car and basically smashed it on her head.
Oh.
Ah. I'm like, did she yelp or I didn't hear anything? He's like, no, she still seems the same.
Yeah.
So feet sensitive, head not.
God. What is a sound you'll never forget? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Robert. Welcome to the men's room.
Liquor and horse.
Liquor and horse.
Hey, first, congratulations on the 20. I've listened to every one of those years, by the way.
Oh, thank you, man.
Nice.
Anyways, so I was working out at JBLM. We're putting up some buildings, and president's flying into town. I don't even remember which president it was. A little Cessna crossed its path, which we didn't know. But they scrambled two jets from Oregon, and they broke the sound barrier, which sounded like it was right above us. And I thought we were going to war.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah, I remember that.
What was the time?
That was Obama.
Were they 12, 13? Whatever the time was. It took
from
them
the time they were dispatched
to get to Portland or whatever to hear. It was just insane.
Yeah, something crazy.
Yeah, it was. I remember the story. The guy, he had no idea what was going on.
He really didn't.
But like, the next thing you know, like it's like a movie. You look out the window and you got a guy over here and a guy over here. And they're flagging
jets,
you going like, hey, what are you doing?
That's until they just land the plane. The first time I heard the sound barrier break, I didn't know what it was. And when we moved to Colorado, where we moved had been nothing but prairie, and now they're building houses there, right? So anyway, the Colorado Springs Air Force Academy or whatever it is, they're 40 miles away. I don't remember. But I guess during the routine training, since there had never been residences there, this was the place where you could break the sound barrier. So anyway, me and a neighborhood kid were playing outside, and you just hear, boom, 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 boom. Ground shakes a little bit, and there's nothing there. And then a couple seconds later, these two jets fly overhead, but they're not making any noise. Then you hear the noise of the jets. It makes sense. They broke the sound barrier. Just as a kid, I did not know that that was a thing. So I go running in the house, and I'm trying to, because my mother's like, did you hear that? I'm like, what was that? And before she could say anything, I said, look, man, we saw two planes fly overhead, but they weren't making any noise. And like after they're gone, you hear the noise of the plane. She goes,
like they maybe dropped a bomb or something. You know?
Yeah, I really didn't know. And she's like, it's the sound barrier, stupid. She's like, just, so she explained to me what it was. And I'm like, well, then that was really cool. I didn't know it was cool until she explained it. But I guess word got back to the base, like, hey, people live there now. So you got to do your training. If you're going to break the sound barrier, you got to do it somewhere else.
What is a sound you'll never forget? 206-803-ROCK.
I will say, every time you knock over a toddler, I feel like it's the same thud.
How many times have you knocked over a toddler?
I don't know. You bump into him or something. Like,
I didn't expect that one to come up.
I feel like between 35 and 45, for my life anyhow, there's a high percentage you're hanging out with people that have toddlers.
Sure, sure.
And just you never know.
It's a like, universal sound, you're saying?
Yeah, or like I saw some of my cousins. They have a little baby. He's like one. So he's like, I guess not quite one. So he's big on like grabbing you and trying to climb you.
Yeah.
But I was eating. So I didn't elbow him. I just kind of gave him my hand and be like, let's go this way. And then, I don't know, he thought it. And then he started crying. And I was like, oh, good job, Ted. I'm like, well, I mean, they fall over. It's part of growing up. But I don't know what it is. Doesn't matter what size it is. I just feel like that butt hit the ground. It's the same.
Universal sound.
Yep. Universal sound.
What is the sound you'll never forget? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Marcus. Welcome to the bedroom.
Hello, fellas.
Hola.
All right. So I got three daughters and one wife.
Well, that's better than having three wives and one daughter, isn't it?
So about 15 years ago, I'd been out working in the yard. It was cold like it is today. And I asked her to make me a cup of coffee, and I went inside, started watching TV, fell asleep while she had my instant roast in the microwave. She hands it to me, and it falls on my genitalia after I'd fallen asleep. And the highest pitched screech out of all those girls was me waking up to my genitalia burning.
Yeah, that's fair, man. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll cut you slack in a minute.
Yeah. And I still dream about that.
You do.
That sound. Not a dream. It's a nightmare.
Okay.
And so does she. My wife does. She's like, I'd never heard a worse sound in my life. Fact.
That is something.
Yeah, sometimes when you're in extreme pain, nothing comes out of your mouth.
I've seen that once.
It's either one or the other.
My brother, my mom used it as a bookend or whatever. Anyway, cookbooks in the kitchen, there's like one of those little irons. It's an actual iron, but no one uses them anymore. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Yeah. You basically heated them up another way. You put them on a wood stove.
Yeah.
Or something like that. It was like a cast solid piece of iron.
Anyway, we were trying to, I think we were grabbing cereal or whatever. Either way, it fell off the top, and it landed point down on his big toe. I just remember this. And he looked at me, man. His eyes were wide. His mouth was open. And, again, I'm maybe 4 or 5, so I'm like, I guess it doesn't hurt because he looks like he's screaming, but there's no sound. And I mean, it was like 5 solid seconds, his mouth just hanging open looking at me. Then the tears started flowing. I realized, oh, he is in pain. I just thought he was tough as hell because he's just sitting there. I'm like, wow, he ain't screaming or nothing. So has his mouth open like he's shot. And I realize, yeah, he's in extreme pain.
Yeah.
That's the last time I've seen that.
A few years ago, somebody came over top of a ball and cleaned me pretty good playing public soccer.
Yeah.
And same thing. I like popped up and was like, ah, it's fine. And then about 2 steps in, I started limping and was like, stop. Started screaming. And then it was just like swollen up. I was like, yeah, I'm done.
What is the sound you'll never forget? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Mike. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bicholas.
Hola.
So, Jed reminded me of the jets flying over top. You guys are familiar with the Snoqualmie Pass?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that canyon. I worked up there for, 14 years on and off. and the fighter jets will come down and buzz that canyon. And they'll get low enough to where you can see the pilot as he goes by.
Damn. Yeah. They're going over top of that reservoir is what they're ideally aiming for, right?
Yeah, they're right over the water. They're so, like the road's elevated, you know, probably, 50 feet up above the water.
Yeah. Yeah, the new section of road.
Yeah, I helped build all that.
Wow.
So when they come down, come down in there, if you see them in time or hear them coming, you turn around, you can actually see the pilot inside that plane as it goes flying by you.
Have you ever seen a fire plane land there and do its thing?
No. No, I have not.
Yeah, I never have either. My buddy saw it. He said, man, you have no idea how tactical these guys are.
Really?
I mean, they just basically touch land. They drag on that reservoir. They pick up as much water as they can, and they take off before they get to the dam side. And then they go up and they dump.
Hopefully.
And they go up and dump it somewhere in, you know, Lake Chelan. Typically is what burns.
Yeah, I've never seen them in action. Not even on TV. Well,
I've seen the highlights. I shouldn't say highlights, but like even though those awful fires just happened in California, they'll show you, like, those guys are so good.
Yeah, they got to be, man.
What is the sound you'll never forget? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Brian. Welcome to the men's room.
Hey, hola.
Hola.
So a couple years ago, I was climbing in the Sierra Nevadas with two other friends for a bachelor party. And we got to kind of a challenging section. And I look over in time to see my buddy climbing over like a fairly good-sized boulder. And him and the boulder both roll over the edge, and I hear him scream.
Oh.
And about 1 second goes by, and I hear a hard crash, and I hear this blood-curdling scream, and he's screaming my name. He's screaming for help, and I stopped for a second. And I thought, duh, I don't know if I'm ready to see what I'm about to see. And I go to the edge, and I just see him holding onto his foot, and the boulder had, luckily, it had only crashed and rolled over his foot. But we had to get him up to a ledge and spend 8 hours waiting for a helicopter for him to get rescued off.
How high were you up when this goes down?
What was that?
How high were you?
Elevation-wise.
Yes. Yes, elevation-wise.
It's on the Sierra high route, and most of the whole high route's above 10,000 feet.
Jeez. So you are way up there when this goes down. And how big was
it? Luckily, he fell about 20 feet, maybe, and it was kind of a tumbling fall. But he stopped on a ledge above like another 100-foot drop. So like if he would have kept going, he would have been done.
Was it your bachelor party or his?
It was his bachelor party, actually.
Jesus.
All right. How was he for the wedding?
You know what? It was awesome because I checked in on him after the wedding and he said, you know what? Honestly, it was great, man. I didn't even have to dance at my wedding.
Damn. Spoken like a true dude.
I could just sit there. Yeah. People came to me.
Adam did the first dance, nothing. So how bad was the damage to him after all this?
So it was pretty bad. He had a pair of crampons on, like right steel claws in the bottom of your boot, and it had flattened the crampons. I was able to get his boot off and look at it, and his foot was like, the bottom of his foot was convex. Like his whole foot was swollen and like yellow and purple, and it had just crunched a bunch of the bones in his lower foot.
So were you guys ice climbing?
No, we were just mountaineering, but the whole route is pretty much off route. And the year we did, it was a really high snow year, so it made the route finding pretty challenging.
Yeah,
okay. Obviously, because what if you rolled with a boulder off of a ledge? So yeah. What do you do for 8 hours when you're waiting on the helicopter?
It was also pretty crazy. I watched him go through like different stages of shock. He was like screaming and hitting himself and hysterically crying, and then all of a sudden he would calm down and we'd like have conversations and you know it was okay, and then all of a sudden he'd start hyperventilating and he was saying like, I'm gonna die, they're not gonna send a helicopter for me, like I'm nobody, like why would they send a helicopter for me?
You should have told him, dude, they're sending it for me, you're right,
so
you're gonna die.
When they pluck him off this ledge, you're there too, you can't get off that thing, so do they take you as well?
You know what, that was another thing is when they, so this helicopter didn't have a winch. It was the Yosemite helicopter. They do a long line. So they land in a valley, and they pay out a bunch of rope, and they have a ranger clip onto the rope, and the helicopter lifts up, and then eventually takes up all the slack and lifts up the ranger, right? And so they were able to drop her down on this cliff on the ledge we were on. She unclipped and they flew away, and then she packaged up my buddy and she asked us, like, hey, do you guys want to ride down to the valley floor? Because we were going to hike back out. And I said, you know, hey, I can't afford that. And she said, no, it's free. You're in the national park. It's all free.
Huh.
And I said, well, hell yeah, let's do it. And the other guy said, no, it was his cousin Josh that got hurt. He's like, get Josh to the hospital. Like, we're fine. Just get him out of here. And I thought that was really bold because the other guy wasn't very much of a climber at all. You know, yeah. He's kind of scared the whole time.
Dude, have you ever seen the video of a woman who's rescued somewhere? It looks like it's a desert hike. I don't know what the deal is. Right. They put her on a flatboard.
Oh, no.
And the helicopter comes down. Somebody clipped her in because she's by herself. She's not. Yeah. There's nobody with her, a ranger or whatever. And, I mean, this thing starts spinning. And, I mean, when I say it starts spinning, it looks like the terror ride from hell. I mean, worse than anything you could imagine. And apparently all the blood.
Let's say it was. She got messed up from that.
She got real messed up.
To your head.
And that's it.
It's just the way it's spinning you. That's just the way the gravitational force works.
Well, yeah, centrifugal force, man.
But you're watching this.
Yeah, and I think the ironic part was she only had a broken nose. I saw that video. She had a broken nose and was, like, wanting to walk down, but she was older. And I guess for some reason they insisted on flying her out. So it wasn't like she was that excited about the helicopter ride initially, I don't think.
So she had a broken nose. There's nothing wrong with your limbs. It's a broken nose. Then they basically convince her to strap down to this gurney. And then she started ripping around in those circles.
I just read the article. That's all it said. So, I mean, I can't confirm.
The video is brutal.
It is, man.
The video is absolutely brutal. You're like, oh, my God. To me, it looked like that could have killed her.
Yeah.
To be honest with you. When I saw that, I was like, that is worse than anything that she's already been through. I don't know.
A broken nose. That was it. Somebody here says it's the rotor wash that makes it spin. Like, we get it, but it's just... What do you do? Because the thing is, they've taken her off the ground.
But they're not
ground.
Pulling her up, so she's not getting closer to the aircraft.
But they couldn't pull her up.
I mean, they're trying.
Because she's, you know what I mean? Because worry about, man, if this, based on the way it's spinning, if we pull her up too fast, man, if she ricochets off
or hits the wheels. Or,
yeah, whatever the case might be. And you can't really put her back down, because now she's spinning.
I mean, she won a $450,000 settlement.
Yeah,
did
she
really?
Yeah, because basically, like he's saying, the injuries weren't that bad, and they were like, no, we got to use the helicopter, and then I guess they forgot a line.
Oh.
That's why she was spinning, and she got more messed up from the spin in the initial injury.
Damn. What is the sound you'll never forget? 206-803-ROCK.
Yeah, that one sucks, too, because she got hurt. Because when you first saw it, you're like, whoa.
Yeah, that's
crazy.
Funny. Yeah, when you keep reading the article, like, oh.
Oh, no, this is bad.
Real bad. Hello, Luciano. Welcome to the men's room.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Hola.
So, this Acadia one that hit me. That's not what I was calling about, but, yeah, I had one of the most insane days. Went to a licensing department in Rayong, Thailand, and five-story building, no elevator, no air conditioning. It was about, 100 degrees outside. It was about 122 inside the building. But what I called about, I went and visited a friend of mine in Central Thailand, and he didn't tell me that he had a lovely little lizard that lived behind his entertainment center. If you don't know what a 2K lizard is, pull up some audio of it. It is loud as any animal I've ever heard in my life.
Is it like a scream? Is it a roar? What kind of sound is coming out of this lizard?
It sounds like a female being chopped up with a machete.
Okay.
Yeah, I know that sound.
Why is that a reference?
I know
point?
That sound. you don't?
That's the first. Do you have any audio of that, man?
What do you think?
What do you call it?
It's 2K?
A 2K lizard?
Why do you think I own tarps?
Yeah,
it's just a gecko.
So that was his description.
Oh, 2K, like T-O-K-A-Y, gecko.
Ah, okay.
I thought it was 2K, like, getting seen in 4K.
A gecko in Africa, man. He pumped up his
neck thing.
Oh, yeah, he was not happy I was near.
Did it make any noise?
No, he did not. He was pretty chill. It's amazing, though. Their eyes, man, they can look everywhere.
I was one of those independent ideas.
Yeah, he's got like these 3D eyes, man. They're both working different directions. He's got like the entire, you know, whatever that is, like the movie theater.
Oh, IMAX?
IMAX, yeah. You can see
the full experience.
All the way around, man. It was nuts.
Huh.
Yeah.
But it didn't hiss or anything. It just pumped up his neck.
Yeah, that's how they show you, like, hey, I'm real tough.
Did you know that in advance, or did they explain that to you?
I don't know. I just saw him in the bush.
Yeah.
I just took a picture and a couple videos of the guy.
You got some,
We got the 2K Gecko. These are, it's basically like a mating call that it's got here. Wait for it. Just stutters.
I don't think a woman getting chopped up with a machete.
Sounds like that. Where did he say he was? Thailand?
Thailand, yeah.
He was there for the beaches.
Yeah. Like everyone.
See, I don't expect that in Thailand.
Oh, you got a message, Mike.
I got a message.
What do they want?
That is what I would expect to hear if I'm in Thailand, just based on the other insect noises and birds in the background.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
all right, man.
Yeah, I feel like Thailand's either you're in a giant city and all you hear is city noises or...
Yeah. That.
A lot of crickets.
Yeah.
That's what my daughter said. Her experience there was it's just this constant hum that kind of never goes away.
All right.
Even if it's in the monsoon season, they're still out.
All right.
So that's why there's a lot of... You go to a street fair, people are eating a lot of bugs.
Yeah.
And popcorn bags that they roast up in like a big, like a paella pan.
Or waste not, want not, man.
But they're, I mean, it's just a constant hum.
Just always.
Yeah, where she was anyway. She said it was like the hum was nonstop. You kind of got used to it, but she's like, when it wasn't there and you went someplace else, it was kind of weird to not have that, not white noise, but just that background noise.
Why is it, you go camping, right? You hear crickets all around you. And it's almost soothing. But if one cricket is in your home, there's nothing more grating in the world.
And as soon as you turn on the light, they shut up.
It stops.
Up.
Yeah.
What is a sound that you will never forget? 206-803-ROCK.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Always live on the free Odyssey app. From the Pinkies Plumbing Studio, you're in the men's room. Text the guys at 206-803-ROCK.
Coming up at 4:30, return of Who Sucks Less. Right after emails on our question, what is the sound you'll never forget? 206-803-ROCK.
What does this music we're playing here?
I don't know.
Kind of like it.
If only you guys knew
hey.
The number of meetings and talks that I had to have with Ryan Castle to get this music.
To get this.
What were the other selections?
What genre yeah, what is this?
This is, what was it? Goofy Bed, I believe, is what we...
Goofy Bed.
Goofy Bed. Goofy this bed. Has been an entire thing. I have seen Castle pull what little hair he has left out just because of this.
This one works.
We got this.
This is the end result.
All these meetings, all that time.
Wow. Okay.
Where you got that?
Was it a Google calendar meeting? What is the sound that you'll never forget? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, John. Welcome to the men's room.
Hey, hola, dude.
Hola.
So this is a skateboarding injury, just to let you guys know. And so basically, I was in Alameda, California, and I was skating this park, and I was trying this trick, which was called a 5-0, which is basically like looks like a wheelie, but you grind on your back truck.
All right.
So basically, I kick out, but I notice I kick like the ground really hard and stuff, and like I hear like kind of a pop. And then kind of like a sound that sounds like you're kind of cutting through watermelon and stuff.
Okay.
So I'm like, oh, you know, I kind of was like, okay. And this is kind of like my buddy was next to me and he's like, oh, God. I'm like, what? Whatever. So I continue skating and I'm like, whoa, my feet feels real funny. So I go over, sit down, I pull off my shoe and my sock. Looks like, you know how like when you're painting a room, like a paint roller looks when you're like, you know, you reapply paint.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. So my sock looked like it was all blood. And then I take my sock off. And what happened is that I kicked the ground, my big toe so hard that like I can't remember if it's like a metatarsal or something, but in my big toe, my top bone slid behind the back of my lower bone. And like, or popped out of joint, slept back, and then pushed my bottom bone through the skin, and I had a compound toe fracture.
Oh man, okay, a compound toe fracture.
That's not the one I hear most.
That's a different. That's different.
Yeah, it's totally it's weird and random. But I was like, man, what was that pop? And I was like, man, like, what's that like sound? That like kind of like you know watermelon sound. And my buddy's like, oh, God. And, like, till this day, like, when we get together, like, I can't talk about it around him because he just, like, gets really squeamish and stuff.
Can you wear flip-flops now?
I can wear flip-flops, but I can't bend my toe.
Okay. Well, that's not the worst thing, I guess. I mean, if you're going to be injured to that severity, that
I mean, level. Do you limp at all or you just can't bend your toe?
It's like, you know how, like, if you, like, put your toe in the sand and you're, like, kind of, like, you know, if you want to write a letter or draw a picture or something?
Yeah.
I can't feel it, dude.
Oh,
at all.
Okay.
All right. What is the sound you'll never forget? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Gary. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, my brother.
Hola.
Congrats on the 20th.
Oh, thank you, bro.
Down
appreciate
one
it.
Of your yellow cans right now.
Nice. There we go.
The men's room IPA.
And the bright yellow can from Black Raven.
Brewery in Woodinville. Mm-hmm. Washington.
I was like, I ran out. That worked out. Yeah.
Ka-ka.
Go ahead, Gary.
We're going to use yours from now on.
Yeah, here we go. Here we go.
All right.
So this is a family story. I was 14 years old.
And the sound of my uncle
made me. Blue Mountains.
Mm-hmm.
What's that?
Hold on. I was 14 years old in West Virginia. My uncle came into my room one night.
No.
Okay.
So I'm 14. My whole family and I were in the Blue Mountains of Eastern Oregon hunting high buck mule deer. So we're over there our second night. We're sitting around a campfire, and we're kind of chuckling, doing what we do. I have two younger brothers. One's a stepbrother, two younger biological brother, and my little one-year-old sister, and my mom, and my stepfather.
All right.
So we're kind of chuckling, getting ready to go to bed. It's night. The fire's burned. The we smell this weird odor and we think, aha, the dog, he done his thing, you know? Because dogs do that. They make stinks sometimes.
They do that, yeah.
Wow. Most animals do.
Yeah. But the dog did this, we thought. Immediately we smelt that. The dog went straight to the camper and started whining. And we're like, okay, there's something wrong with the dog. Next thing we do, we hear this banshee-like scream is all I can describe it. It is like the hair curling on the back of your neck, creepy sound. And we all look at each other, and now we know why the dog's freaking. So we kind of look around, and, you know, we're hunting. So I have a 30-30, and my dad has a 30-06. We freak. We hear another one, and it's a different location. So we scramble to the camper, all of us. Of course, the dog was first, brave German Shepherd that he was. And then we sat in there for the rest of the night, my dad and I, with our rifles pointed at the door, freaking out.
So now, did the dog actually poop?
No, it wasn't the dog.
What was it?
The dog smelt it before us. That's why he headed for the door, and then we smelt it, and it was like, ah, look, the dog, you know, he's going to poop himself. Why is he heading for the camper?
What was
and then the scream.
What was the source of the smell?
Well, we think it was the scream.
Whatever was screaming was responsible for the smell. Yeah.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So we believe it was a Sasquatch. A Bigfoot. And I'm not crazy either. Trust me.
Maybe he has.
Yeah, well, I've never heard anything like that before. Well,
they are notoriously
stinky.
Yeah, and they're notoriously stinky, notoriously loud.
Also lactose intolerant. He might have had some dairy or ice cream before he farted and the wind came through the place.
Now, didn't we find out that, like, if you end up face to face with Bigfoot, isn't it, I believe, in Washington State, like, illegal to shoot his ass?
Yeah, you're not allowed to shoot him. This was I was 14. I'm 65 now. So back then, you know, they were still the big Bigfoot fake thing was going on, you know, the big fake movie and all that crud. But there was my mother had this clipping from a newspaper or from Eastern Oregon Bend area.
Uh-huh.
That's where it was in that area that a deputy that night actually saw something on the road, and it turned and looked at him, and as it did that, it brushed against a stop sign and disappeared. And that was in the deputy's report. So it's one of those newspaper clipping where
I got you, man.
You know, we didn't have the internet back then.
Now we know. And that movie was Harry and the Hendersons.
Telling you right now, I know it's illegal to shoot a Bigfoot. If I have a gun and I see a Bigfoot and he seems angry, if he's bum rushing me, I'm telling you right now, I'm breaking the law.
Mm-hmm.
Not because I want to shoot a Bigfoot. It's just I have a gun and Bigfoot's rushing at me.
Yep. Yeah.
And even
what do you think? I think you have a better chance of seeing a Bigfoot than I do picture you out in the woods with a weapon.
That's why. If I bump into Bigfoot, like we are downtown or he showed up at the bar.
Why is it now?
Yeah, and it's like, no offense, but like of all the things, like,
no, you're right.
You, like, yeah. I just wouldn't picture you with a weapon. Like, wait a minute, why did I throw the gun on?
Well, every day is a different UFO picture. Right. I looked at another one today.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So why no Bigfoot pictures?
Because UFOs are real. In my opinion.
I mean,
UFOs are real, right? It still always says that it's an unidentified flying object.
What is it we don't know?
But I do think aliens have been here.
Yeah, but no Bigfoot.
I mean, look, if he's out there, I would not want to interact with people either, right?
Maybe he's dead.
And then, they were said there's more than one.
Sure.
Or it's one Bigfoot who travels across the country. You never know.
For 100 years.
What a lame-ass life.
What's that?
Across the country and just take blurry-ass photos.
Yeah, exactly.
And why?
He doesn't do anything.
No. Never dumpster dives.
No.
Never eats out of somebody's trash.
He's just walking through the
woods. No, he just eats fine.
He might have some decorum.
Every animal eats trash. Bears get into trash. That's why they have those
bald
trash
eagles.
Cans. Yeah.
Do you eat trash?
I
have eaten trash.
You have eaten trash, yes.
I mean, I picked up.
I mean, we've all eaten trash, but I mean, it's a regular source of diet.
Like, that's where you see. He never seemed like with his legs hanging out of a dumpster, stuck. Like, he falls asleep in there, and then he falls into the truck in the morning when they dump and empty.
Also, why would he pick the Northwest and then Arkansas?
Yeah. That's what I don't get. That because Arkansas, right. Seriously, that seems to be like the other
that's
state.
That's the other like episode.
It's a summer home.
His summer home?
He just summers in Arkansas.
Seems like he made winters there.
Do you think the Arkansas Bigfoot also is wearing overalls?
Well, there's a correlation of methamphetamine.
That's just what I pictured.
There is a methamphetamine correlation, so obviously Bigfoot likes those areas. Because it seems like the people who see him, maybe a little methamphetamine.
Well, the Arkansas one, you don't have to worry about him. He can't bite you.
He's got no teeth.
Like our caller yesterday, after you've been up for 8 days, you know.
I saw Bigfoot.
I bet you did. Maritime Avenue.
That guy's story was already a little off the rails.
Crap.
A little bit.
But, well, he's not crazy.
No, he's not. The only thing I can think about at the beginning of it, his mom likes sex.
Yeah.
Stepbrother, stepsister, biological brother, biological sister.
Both my fathers.
Old. Wow, man.
Yeah.
Paints a picture.
Busy family.
In great detail.
Teno's going to.
He really does.
Teno's going to tell you.
But when he's done, you look at the picture and you say, what is that?
What actually is that?
That's all.
So it's really funny.
You put the effort in, but we're not tracking.
Ted, I've told you the story before, but it was 1989, I think. So we're playing in the Gator Bowl in Jacksonville, Florida. This is before the Jacksonville Jaguars had been in the NFL. So this is an old stadium. Typically, they would just play like Georgia and Florida in it or something
right.
like that.
I would imagine that's basically what it was for, and then high school. Yeah.
But it was the bleachers were aluminum, and some of the just the grandstands themselves were aluminum as well. So when people stomped on the ground, it was a huge echo in this place. I mean, it was a loud stadium. It was also a bigger stadium, probably at least 60,000 people, if not more. And we're playing Clemson. So I did not realize the proximity that South Carolina to Jacksonville, it's a much easier drive than coming from West Virginia.
Absolutely.
So basically, there are so many Clemson fans down there. You know,
I tell everybody, Jacksonville is deep Georgia. That is not Florida as you think of Florida.
It's a home game for them, essentially. So, you know, when we look out, it's so much orange that it's insane. Right. And so the band does their thing, and they go out and, there's two bands, actually. You know, both schools get to represent. So they do kind of a longer intro pregame show. They're all going to go out at halftime, blah, 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 blah. Band goes out, does their thing. All right, so the specialists are the kicker, the punter, the snappers, and the return people.
Yeah.
All right? So punt, return, receiver, the center, the long snapper. You are one of six people.
Yeah.
All right? They're running out on the field. Now, the band just cleared off the field, and they're still doing that thing where they're kind of single file line shuttling up to the sections that they're in. So there's still some guys on the field, but they're all off to the side. And we are the first specialist group to come out on the field because Clemson hasn't come out yet. They're supposed to go out, but we know our place. We know we're running to the 50-yard line. We're going to kick into the end zone. The punters are coming out. The kickers go to the goalpost. They kick toward the goalpost. Punters come out of the end zone, blah, 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 blah. We run out on the middle of the field. We are the first six people out on the field. The entire place explodes in booze. I mean, raining down. It was so loud from every angle. And then when we got into the end zone, it got louder.
Yeah.
And all these people booing, throwing crap, man. And it was so intense because we're the only six or seven people on the field. To be booed by that many. We're kickers. Like, you know, it's not really not really the quarterback or anything.
Most people don't boo the kicker.
But to be booed by that many people was a bigger rush than, you know, being cheered. For whatever reason. You were just, like, pumped up now. Like, wow. This is going down.
It's funny. My brother says that. He said when, he's like, look, it's part of my job as a referee. You're going to get boos. You also get equal cheers, right? It just depends where you're playing and who the flag is on. All right. So he's like, that's the normal thing. But they never cheer for you. They're cheering for the call. But when they boo the call, they're also booing you, right? So you as a referee or an official, they're never cheering for you. All right. So you remember the lockout right after 9/11. Right, because everyone says they went on strike. They were not on strike. The NFL locked them out. And then the fail Mary that happened here, remember that? That's when the NFL, even though the NFL says that had nothing to do at all with why we brought the officials back. It had everything to do with why they brought the officials back. So he goes, they bring us back.
Was that the Green Bay game? Is that what
it was? Green Bay against Seattle. Okay. It was here. And I don't remember the entire play, but they called it the fail Mary. May have even been a Monday night game, but basically that was the last game that they did with the backup officials because it's just a different world. So my brother's not a ref yet. He's just one of the officials, but they bring him back, and I don't remember where his first game was back, but he said this was the first and only time ever that they actually announced us by name and had us run out of the tunnel. and the place goes crazy, right? They are super happy, happy to have you back, because as much as people bitch about officials, when you actually have bad officials or unqualified officials doing something, you realize how good these guys actually are. And look, they F up, they get it. But he said, so, you know, they introduce him by name. And it's like, and it's weird because they never do that, but they did this in this one week. So it's like, man, I go running out there, and it's just, it's like, it felt really good. It's about 2 minutes into the game. We make our first call. Well, it's against the home team. Boom! Right back to where it was. It's like, so for 2 minutes, we felt good about ourselves. We call our first, like, holding call, whatever the hell it was. And it's like, just the booze came back. But he said, and it was almost refreshing. Like, things felt normal. Yeah. I'm like, really? He goes, it's not normal for them to cheer.
You get a much bigger.
But when they boo you, he's like, we're back, baby.
You get a much better adrenaline rush. I mean, when the booze. So we start kicking and booming the ball. I mean, because we're fired up. Everybody's jumping up and down, and you know, you're getting loose, and it's warm down there. The ball's traveling better. You're
real fired up.
And and keep in mind, these are all brand new balls specifically for the Gator Bowl. They are shiny. They are waxy.
Yeah.
They have the emblem on them. They just get out of the box. They're hard as hell to kick. Okay, I mean, I'll just be honest. They're hard to grip. They're brand new footballs. So I bang the first one. Then I bang the second one. Coach Nealon's behind us in the end zone, watching everything go down. He's watching the kicks come through to figure out the distance on the kicking game as far as what is his length. What's Brad's length? I kick this ball, man, and it goes off the side of my foot. And I mean, when I say it goes off the side of my foot, it goes off the side of my foot, but with a sideways spiral.
Oh, jeez.
I mean, it's just this waxy ball. I slip when I drop it, you know, it's nose down. It goes off. It maybe goes 15 feet to the right. I mean, but it's flying into the stands. And it's a brand new ball. And Nealon just watches it. And this guy from Clemson reaches up and grabs it. And the entire section just starts cheering, right? And Nealon looks at me and goes, Christ, Montgomery, I could piss farther than that. He's like, that's a brand new ball. He's like, we signed those to give to charities at the end of the year. He's like, now the Clemson guys got their ball. God damn it, Montgomery.
Did you even think about trying to get it?
Hell no.
Man, you're going to send a West Virginia guy up to Clemson say, can I get my ball back?
I can imagine the coach being like, Montgomery, you got to go get that ball. Be like, no, coach.
He never raised his voice. He was one of those shucks guys.
Yeah.
I mean, he never cussed.
Right.
Christ, Montgomery, I can piss farther than that. It's the first time I've heard him, like, even remotely cuss.
Right.
My bad.
Who Sucks Last? It's not coming up at 4:30. Your emails coming up next in the men's room at KISW.com.